Finance Committee meeting started. At least one member will be calling in, and we'll see if the telephonic connection works.
Yep, it sure does.
Thank you very much. All right, so this is the June 14th meeting of the Finance and Budget Committee. Our first preliminary item is approval of the agenda, so I'll see if anybody has any objection to that or call for a motion of to approve the agenda. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. And then we have approval of our minutes from the May 10th meeting. Again, entertain a motion for approval. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Now that we've gone through the preliminaries of agenda and the minutes approved, I'd like to review the one item on our agenda. Our one agenda item is holdover issue from last month's meeting. It's to amend the FY 2019 operating budget to incorporate bus service changes requested by the jurisdiction and elimination of the Grosvenor Turnback on the Red Line in January 2019. If approved, we'll ask the board, if I ever can shut this off, there we go, to approve these budget amendments at a special meeting immediately following this meeting so that funds will be in place for the bus service changes, which staff would like to put in place January 24th. So to be clear, this is a continuation, as I said, of the committee's May 10th consideration of an amendment of the FY19 operating budget to provide funding for new Virginia and DC bus routes and the Red Line service improvement that would begin in FY2019. We have to take this action now since the fiscal year starts July 1st. The bus routes under consideration, and I'll be a little more extensive in my remarks since the presentation was made in May, just to bring everybody up to date on what's at stake. The bus routes include extension of the G9 Rhode Island pilot in the district. There are also service improvements to 10 lines in the District of Columbia and 5 in Arlington that impact subsidy levels. Metro Rail change would end the Grosvenor turnbacks on the Red Line so that all peak period trains would go to and from Shady Grove Station as directed 3 years ago by Board Resolution 2015-37. Presently, half of those trains end at Grosvenor, resulting in inferior service for riders north of Grosvenor. Subject to an ongoing Title VI evaluation, the new Red Line service would begin in January 2019. As explained in Mr. Anasecki's presentation last month, the total budgetary impact for FY 2019 is $4.9 million. The breakdown is $3.7 million for the DC and VA bus route changes and $1.25 million for a half year of Red Line ending the turnbacks, consistent with Resolution 2015-37, so that all peak period trains would originate and terminate at Shady Grove. Today's resolution attached to your materials makes clear that this Grosvenor action today only covers funding. The board will still have to accept the Title VI analysis and decide whether it wishes to reverse course from the 2015 board resolution and improve less than full elimination of the Grosvenor turnbacks on the Red Line. That will happen next month, probably. Since we had a full staff briefing in the May 10 meeting, I suggest that we go straight to discussion and vote. I'll begin by asking for a motion to approve the budget increase of $4.5 million to fund the DC and VA bus route changes and the Red Line Grosvenor turnback service improvements for fiscal year 2019 as proposed by staff. Is there such a motion? Second?
Second.
Thank you. I guess before beginning the session, I guess I should point out that this is a funding issue, so for purposes of the Finance Committee under the existing bylaws, it's we sit as a committee of the whole with all members present having an opportunity to cast a ballot. Okay, so that takes us to discussion. Is there any amendments that any party wishes to make?
Is that the appropriate time right now?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move to amend the resolution approval to add bus service and eliminate the Grosvenor turnback on the Red Line to remove all references to the Grosvenor turnback. The text of that has been posted to Diligent. My rationale, I'll just state very briefly, I'm not seeking an extended debate here. The information provided by staff on the benefits and costs of the elimination of Grosvenor turnback, the benefits relatively few in terms of virtually no additional ridership, virtually no additional revenue. The operating cost is what is technically before the committee and the board at this time. But as staff has pointed out, in order to avoid negative impacts on service and reliability, there was an estimate of a capital investment required of $20 to $30 million. My understanding is that's still being evaluated, what it precisely is. But I don't feel that, given that overhang on our already stressed capital budget, that this is a wise commitment for the board to make at this time. And therefore, I ask everyone for, for your support.
Is there a second to Mr. McMillan's motion? I'm sorry? You are eligible to second. Thank you. I would like to speak in opposition to the amendment, and so to do so, I will hand the gavel off to the vice chair of the committee for purposes of monitoring
the
debate.
The amendment, and we'll start with Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. I would oppose stripping. What effectively this motion does is to strip funds for the Grosvenor turnback funds from the FY 2019 budget amendment. Ending the Grosvenor turnbacks has been a longstanding objective for improving service on the Maryland for Maryland Red Line riders for both Montgomery County and the state of Maryland. This was approved by the board in 2015 as part of a regional Metro Rail service improvement arrangement whereby Maryland supported funding for Virginia's Blue and Orange Line power upgrades to facilitate eight-car service on those lines. Maryland received the ending of the Grosvenor turnbacks when sufficient new 7,000 series rail cars were available to permit the added trains between Grosvenor and Shady Grove. This was projected to happen in FY 2019. Deliveries have been on schedule, and so it can happen in this fiscal year. And so the opportunity for new and improved service for FY 2019 on the Red Line should be included in this budget amendment. Contrary to what Mr. Milling says, ending turnbacks will immediately result in improved service for Red Line riders. It turns out that on April 30th, according to a Metro staff analysis, every train leaving Shady Grove between 7:47 and 8:47 in the morning, peak rush hours, had over 100 passengers per car when it reached Grosvenor. These are very crowded trains. And this was a Monday, and Mondays are usually not as crowded as midweek days for service on the Red Line and Metrorail generally. They're usually off by about 10 or 15%. So you can imagine what the crowding is like on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. This results in uneven passenger loading, longer station dwell times, and a poorer experience for passengers than on those boarding trains at Grosvenor. If trains start at Shady Grove at rush hour, all on-time performance will improve, riders will enjoy a less crowded experience, Metro will have a more efficient service, and will save money thereby. Now, it turns out that using WMATA ridership and revenue models and looking at the improved Montgomery County development projects in the pipeline between White Flint and Shady Grove as of 2017 would add 7,000 new daily riders, according to these models. The new fare box revenue is worth $25,000 a day, or over $6.25 million in annual revenue for WMATA. So this is not a situation where there are no benefits for WMATA from improved service on the Red Line. In addition, we know for a fact that many people now, many of the riders, are driving to Grosvenor, parking there in order to take advantage of the better service that's at Grosvenor. If we improve service all the way up to Shady Grove, we'll not only reduce congestion on Rockville Pike, but we'll increase people who park at Shady Grove, who park at Twin Brook, who park at White Flint, who park at Rockville, and they will be paying higher fares. So there's a clear revenue benefit for WMATA, you know, even if you put aside the potential growth that's going to be on Red Line stations in the near-term future. So as I said in my introduction, the resolution presented makes clear that the board will still have to vote to approve the Title VI analysis next month and consider then whether once it do less than full elimination as directed by the 2015 board resolution. But at this time, I believe this committee is bound by what the board did in 2015 and 2015 resolution, and for funding purposes, it should act consistent with that resolution and approve funding for for FY 2019 and the start of Red Line service all the way to Shady Grove at this time. There's no basis for doing less for this committee at this time, and so I urge you to vote against the amendment and to approve the amendment to the FY 19 budget with funding for both the Red Line turnbacks on the Metro Rail as well as for the bus routes to D.C. and Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. And I'll turn the gavel back over to you so you can recognize other people who want to participate in the discussion.
Thank you. Ms. Folger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm asking a technical question on the Red Line reliability. Can Shady Grove handle 15 trains per hour if we do what you're asking? And what will that mean on the Red Line reliability?
I'm not a technician. All I can tell you is, you know, Shady Grove handled 10 an hour until June 30th of last year when we went from 3 minutes to 4 minutes headways. In the past, it's handled anywhere between 12 and 15 per hour before the Great Red Line crash in 2015. To the extent that we need to do something about that, we'll either hear from that in the staff report that we receive next month, and the board can decide.
You're putting the cart before the horse as well, waiting for the analysis and approving this budgetary amendment. Why can't we wait?
I'm not putting the cart before the horse. The horse here was the action that the board took in 2015. The cart is now to fund it. You know, so until the board decides otherwise, and until we do that next month, I think it's appropriate to put in the meager amount of money, $1.25 million, that's needed to fund the Grosvenor turnbacks, whether it's going to be a full turnback at 15 per hour or whether it's going to be something less than 12 per hour.
Well, can staff tell us what the reliability is going to be if we do 15 trains per hour at Shady Grove? Can the Red Line handle it?
We will in July. We were doing that analysis now.
Mr. Costa.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like a clarification on what the resolution actually says, because I think part of the resolution says that they're directing staff to study the elimination of the turnback. So if that hasn't been completed, this seems premature.
Well,
because I think it's important, because you referred to the 2015 resolution a few times, to actually read what the board passed.
Fair enough. Mr. McGill.
Mr. Belger, to the question you raised, I would bring your attention to the memo from the staff to the CEO back in September, which was shared with the board. The current infrastructure at the Shady Grove Terminal cannot reliably handle the turnback of 15 trains per hour. So perhaps there's new information or analysis we'll see that took place over the 9 months when staff reports again, but that was the conclusion back in September, and that's what necessitated the $20 to $30 million estimate for needed capital investments.
Strutty.
So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this discussion sort of illustrates a lot of what I've discussed with my colleagues in the Commonwealth of Virginia. As we look at this, it's somewhat unfortunate that this is the Grosvenor turnback is on the docket at the same time as the bus changes, because the level of analysis and meeting demand that went into both proposals are very different. They're at very different stages, and they really ought not be coupled. But ultimately, at the end of the day, where Mr. Goldman concludes that this being prudent to set in place our budgetary plan to deal with this should the board in the future decide to eliminate the turnbacks, ultimately makes sense at this time. Even though I do very much associate myself with the concerns that have been raised in terms of, is this a good idea for WMATA, and at what scale is this a good idea for WMATA? I think that has yet to be fully explored through the analysis, but when we think about creating a budgetary framework for the upcoming year, which is ultimately what the Finance Committee is charged with doing, it makes sense to consider it at this time, understanding full well that we're going to have a level of analysis next month which is going to hopefully address all of these very real concerns. What are the capital cost implications? What are the equity implications? And at what level would the turn back, would eliminating the turn back merit, meaning efficient service? Mr. Goldman, you outlined a lot of benefits that you think would accrue to WMATA, and I'm not here to argue or dispute any of them, but they're all speculative at this point. They're not based on data and analysis. And when it comes through, comes to the pilot project that is associated with the DC bus service, we have real data there with some of the other state of good operations, bus changes. Those are based on analyzing demand, analyzing ridership, extensive public hearings, not only adding service in some places, it's eliminating or modifying service in other places. So, you know, there's a level of analysis that's required for Grosvenor for us to make a full detailed decision. But with all of those concerns, you know, stated, the Finance Committee is ultimately not deciding that today. It's deciding whether or not we should create the budget framework to accommodate it should the board so decide to pursue it next month or whenever it comes back to us.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. And, in fact, the amount of money involved, you're right, is very small. We have a $1.8 billion operating budget. The amount that's being put in to provide for restoring service on the Red Line, ending the group turnbacks, is a picayune amount, $1.25 million. And so to quibble over what the amount would be, whether the board decides next month to go forward with 15 trains or whether it decides to go over with 12 trains is not going to make very much difference. As to the speculative nature of the presentation, it's not speculative at all. Those are a study that was performed by the Montgomery County Department of Transportation, which we will submit and put in the record for consideration by the board next month, along with the board staff's analysis of the Title VI analysis. But I think they're fairly solid numbers.
If possible, Mr. Goldman, I would encourage you to share that with the board well in advance of our consideration next month. You know, we try to make reasoned decisions here, and all data should be made available as soon as it is available, if it can be released.
Sergeants? Thank you. If there's no other discussion, Mr. Evans?
Yeah, thank you. And I think, Steve, you raised really good points, and I'm glad you raised them. There's a lot of discussion that's necessary on this, but I will be supporting Mike on this. And for all the reasons that people have said, and another one, this is important to Merrill at the end of the day. This is one of their main issues that they have promoted before I was here. And I don't want to send a signal to Merrill in any way, shape, or form that we don't support what they're trying to do. So I think there will be a lot of analysis, as people have pointed out. If it turns out to be a bad idea, we don't have to go forward with it because we're not putting that much out there. But for today's purposes, I think we should go forward and support the Maryland position on this.
Thank you. No other discussion? I think we'll call question on the amendment and then on the main amendment itself. So all those in favor of the McMillan Amendment, signify by raising your hands. One, two, secretary has the count. All those opposed?
I vote no.
Thank you.
I vote no.
We heard you, Kathy.
Thank you.
I believe the amendment fails. Is that correct? I'm sorry. Are there any abstentions? Seeing none? Very good. So moving on to the main motion, all those in favor of recommending to the full board the increasing the budget for FY19, the FY19 operating budget by 4.9 million, I believe is the correct number. Yes. Signify by raising your hands. Did you get that count? All those opposed to the budget amendment?
And I vote yes.
Any abstentions? I believe the vote was approval for the budget amendment. Can you confirm that? Yes. Thank you. That concludes the business of the Finance Committee for today. I will pass the gavel to Mr. Evans for calling us a meeting. I'm advised that the meeting will be a special board meeting that will continue in the next room. Thank you.